For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
This is the Best of the Eagles on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Let's get to the Eagles. John, we have hit the month that they go to training camp. I mean, it's so July 28th is the official date, 4 weeks from now. But we're in the month of training camp. Preseason games are next month. So let's roll today at 215-592-9494. We haven't talked a ton of Eagles lately. But, John, 4 weeks to camp and obviously about 2 weeks to the season. Curious from you, James, Ree, and everyone at 215-592-9494. What's rattling through your Eagles brain? I got a lot of thoughts here. John, what is hitting you on the Eagles as they get close to training camp?
Well, I was interested by something you said in our meeting earlier. I'm wondering if you're going to talk about it. You think that the Eagles are ultra dependent on picks 1 and 2 from
this
year's draft?
Yeah, let me lay that out right now, because there's no one of the main things that hits me as they get close to camp is I talked about how the Phillies are going to be dependent on Crawford in October, and I think they will, because they may get a new right fielder. I don't think they're going to get a new right fielder and center fielder. I think Crawford is going to be a regular starter, and he's going to have to play, you know, decent. You don't want to have him be, for instance, what Rojas used to be, which was an 0-for-4 every October game. So let's talk about the Eagles. Let's talk about reliance. Yes, John, I believe the Eagles are going to be, especially to be good or great, very reliant on their first and second round picks.
I mean, I think that is so far off base.
How do you figure? I mean, they drafted Lemon and Stowers to play.
What? Okay.
How do you figure?
Did Lemon play at all this summer yet?
No.
He had a hamstring injury.
No.
Couldn't practice.
They're not counting on rookies to come in and play.
Oh, I totally disagree, dude.
Okay.
AJ's gone and Goddard's aging.
No kidding. That third receiver spot, which is what he is.
He's second receiver.
He's the slot receiver.
He's going to play.
He's
he should
the
play the
slot receiver.
As a first-round pick, he should play the second
Wicks
most.
Is the... We got a Z and an X on the outside.
Yep.
He is the slot receiver on the inside. That position is a jack-of-all-trades position. You're going to have Johnny Munt.
I hope not.
Third string, fourth string, fifth string tight end in there in running situations. Maybe Johnny Wilson in running situations. Maybe Darius Cooper in running situations. You might have a fullback potentially in there in that position. We're talking about the 11th guy. Both of these players are viewed as player 10 and player 11 on the field whenever they're on the field. You haven't seen it much because these last offenses that we used, we were stuck in zebra personnel an awful lot, which is one back, one tight end, three wide receivers.
Right.
We're now going to be changing personnel groupings all the time.
Well, that'll be fun to say.
Suit the offense.
Yes.
Mekhi Lemon is not crucial. Because he is one of many who will fill that 11th man on the offense spot.
Yeah, you and I
Johnny
see
Munt,
it
Cam
very,
Latu.
Very different.
I agree. Could be Carson Steele, Cam Latu. Maybe they want to take the top off the defense. It's going to be Hollywood Brown stepping into that 11th spot because he's the fastest wide receiver we have. It is a jack-of-all-trades spot. It is a jack of all trades purpose as well. And Mekhi Lemon is behind. He did not practice during OTAs.
There's no doubt.
I do not. And training camp is now 90 minute at the max walkthroughs a lot of these days.
Yep.
It hurt Mekhi Lemon to not be able to practice. That set him back. It was not critical he be out there anyway. Stowers, the backup tight end, I have no idea. I know he's very skilled athletically, but we know Dallas Goedert's going to be the starter. After Dallas Goedert, if it's a run play, you think Stowers is preferable over Munt? I don't. What about a guy you really want to get the route right? You really want to pull defenders with the way that the construction of the routes go? I'm putting Grant Calcaterra in there because he knows and understands the secondary rules and what the coverage is expected to be. I think you've got a lot of versatility within this offense that you're utilizing with personnel groups first and foremost, and it's something that teams aren't going to be ready for. I think fans must not be ready for it either because I was so shocked that you felt like Mekhi Lemon was going to be a major factor in this offense. At least the first half of this season.
Let's get to it here.
I do not expect that at all.
All right, so look, we'll see if people agree with John or not. Again, 215-592-9494. Here's my contention. First and second round pick, obviously a draft and a play. Now, we know they're probably going to play more years three than one, but here's the deal, guys. AJ gone. First off, close to half the guys, John, you just said, close to half of them are going to be almost non-factors in that some of these guys won't even make the team. So, yes, some combination of those guys will play. Some combination of those guys will not play at all. Some of those guys will never see the field in a regular season game for the Eagles. I also know this. You don't draft a first-round wide receiver to just be another guy. Like, he's got to – and again, if you notice what I said to maintain being really good or great or elite, they're going to be relying on these guys. Look, no, they can.
I think they will be really great.
Oh, I think so.
They'll continue to be elite, and in large part because of the versatility contained within the offense.
There's some of that
in personnel grouping.
No, I agree. There's that. Like, just to use it for instance, I don't think they're as reliant on these two. And again, we're talking about the first round pick Mekhi Lemon and the second round pick Eli Stowers. They're not as reliant on them as they were 2 years ago on Quinyon and Cooper, who were like, no doubt, these are your starters. Once they establish in training camp, these are your starters.
That was such an outlier.
No, though. I understand.
I want everyone to realize and understand rookies do not normally become all pros.
But here's my point. To be good or great, elite, which is what the standard has essentially been for the Eagles. They're not always elite, but they're always competing to try to be elite. Take a year like last year. They won 11 games. They weren't elite, but they were still damn good. I mean, they were still a damn good football team. When I was a kid, I would have died for 11 wins, all right? So to maintain that type of play, it's not going to be Johnny Wilson. Now, he'll block sometimes. There's no doubt. He'll block sometimes. But, I mean, guys, they're replacing A.J. Brown. They're trying to replace A.J. Brown, and they ain't going to do that.
In a dumb offense that did not utilize his skill set properly. I'm telling you.
You don't have to convince me of that. I'm well aware.
Everyone can be more involved this year because the offense will involve them more. A.J. Brown last year was told to go run go routes all the time.
Well, listen, there's no doubt there was some simplicity to it. But I'll also say this. Let's talk about Goddard, and I love him. I didn't want him on the team this year. Now, maybe he rebounds. Maybe he turns back the clock.
He had 10 touchdowns last year.
I saw that, and I also saw bad blocking. And I saw a guy who looked to me to be very physically beat up from a career well spent with his body. And so, to me, it was very clear, similar to 2 years ago, when it was Quinyon and Cooper out of necessity. Defensive backfield was weak. Howie knew it. He had Slay, and he didn't have much else. And he said, I'm getting a corner and a corner. To me, it was very obvious, and we talked about this back in April, that the offense needed replenishment, and he did it. Now, we'll find out how good these guys are, but to act like they're not going to be reliant on these two guys. Guys, I'm not telling you that Stowers is going to play 80% of the snaps. I'll tell you this. I think he's going to play a lot. I don't want to see Goddard out there as much as he used to be. I don't think you'll see Goddard out there as much as he used to be, and you're sure as hell going to see more Mekhi Lemon than freaking Johnny Wilson. So these guys got to step up. My mindset, as we embark on the month, we're training camp, and you know we'll start seeing these guys. I think these guys are freaking important. Look, we'll take your thoughts, 215-592-9494, on the construction of this offense. If what John's saying vibes with you, that it's sort of in and out, interchangeable parts. And I agree with John, they will have more complex personnel groups. I think we all know with a West Coast-style attempt, and I'll use the word attempt because we don't even know it'll stick, but with a West Coast-style attempt, There will be more diversity, and that's good. I welcome that.
I'm interested in that. I'm interested in who gets carries after Saquon, because I think that's completely up in the air.
The Tank.
And then on the other side, Tank is going to be a bigger part of the offense this year. The coaches have to love what they saw on tape.
I loved what I saw.
Yeah, and you got to factor in the fresh legs, how much of that was. Everyone else was exhausted at that point in the season when he finally got an opportunity. On the defensive side of things, Reek Woolen is going to set this league on fire this year.
Why do you think that?
Reek Woolen is so massive. He is so gigantic, yet he runs a 4.2 in the 40, can leap a 43-inch vertical leap. The skills, I cannot believe how big he is. I cannot believe how big this guy is, how in real life. On top of that, the physical abilities that he's got, Vic Fangio is going to eat that up. And this is a guy, we now have Quinion, who you can just like shut people down with.
Yep.
And now you got Reek Woolen too. If you can say, hey, just go line up and cover the big wide receiver, just stay with him all day. That's such a luxury. And then the last thing before we gotta take a break, I am worried about the edge. I'm worried about our edge rushers. You know, Jalix Hunt, Jonathan Grenard, we're putting so much faith in these guys. Hunt has started 10 games his whole career. Jonathan Grenard last year started 10 games. He was tied for 131st in the NFL for sack production. I like Grenard a lot. I really like him as an all-around player.
You just don't love him.
And I don't love him as like the sack meister, which is I don't know where those are coming from. We know Jalen Carter can get to the quarterback. We know he's going to be double and triple teamed every play. And I just don't believe in the edge talent at this stage.
All right, so look, a lot of aspects of this team, both offensively and defensively, as they go to training camp in a couple weeks, we are in the month of July. Look, we'll be doing training camp shows. It's a beautiful thing. Hopefully the Eagles can maintain being really, really good. Maybe they get back to being elite. Maybe they don't.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We wanted to react to this because Richard Sherman had some things to say about the Eagles and really where he stacks them up or doesn't stack them up within the NFC. Let's hear Richard Sherman and his podcast talking about the Eagles as we head towards the season.
My expectations definitely lower. You know, it's hard to put them in the same class as the Rams and the Seahawks right now until proven otherwise. Now, Devontae Smith, do I think is a receiver one? I think he's proven that he can be dominant on his own. But without A.J. Brown there, there'll be double teams on him. There'll be clouds. There'll be things that he hasn't had to deal with as often with A.J. Brown in the fold, and how he deals with those things, how their offense deals with those things, how Jalen Hurts deals with it. At times, Jalen Hurts would just, hey, drop back, throw it up to A.J. Brown. 3rd and 10, all day, always open. A.J. Brown is going to be down there. It's bailed him out of big games, and he's not going to have that same safety blanket anymore. Can he do that with Devontae Smith? No question about it. What will Mekhi Levin be? He's dealt with some hamstring issues already in minicamp and OTAs. Will that be a lingering issue throughout the season? We'll see, but it's a lot of unknowns. And then you got to deal with the Dallas Cowboys, who have become a lot more formidable. They're going to feel like they have a chance to win that division this year for good reason.
All right, so a few things that stood out. One, you know, at the end, he talks about the Cowboys being more formidable, which I agree with, and they'll be, I think, the biggest challenge to the Eagles. He talks about the uncertain in the offense. But Hugh, the first thing he said was he doesn't right now put the Eagles in the same class as the Rams and the Seahawks.
Yeah.
Are you on the same page as Richard, or you disagree?
Well, no, I know what Richard's trying to say. He's talking about the quarterback. I mean, and if you don't hear it any other way, then you know, I don't know what you're listening to. And it's not like he's saying that Jalen can't do it, because he made it clear he thinks he can, but it's not going to be as easy as it once was. Because when you talk about talent, man for man, I would say when you go down the roster – of all those teams that he said he doesn't think the Eagles are in the class in.
Well, it was the two, right? Seahawks and the Rams.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. But if you go down the roster of both of those teams and you look at us man for man, we match up well at that position, less one. And that's probably the position he's talking about, is the quarterback position. There's a lot of question marks about Jalen, even though Jalen has accomplished a lot. When you talk about the other two quarterbacks that they're putting him up against, they've accomplished a lot as well. You know, when you talk about Sam Darnold and the fact that he was the best quarterback in the game last year.
Says you.
Says me.
Okay.
Because he won the Super Bowl.
That's right.
Then that's what he's talking about. Now, that's not to say that the Eagles can't get it done, but that's from his purview. That's how he sees it. And right now, there's a lot of question marks about the quarterback.
Well, that's true. And there's a lot of question marks about the offense. So I agree with Richard Sherman. I don't have the Eagles in the same class as the Rams and the Seahawks right now. But it's not only because of the quarterback. For the Rams, they have a clear advantage at quarterback. Matthew Stafford's better than Jalen Hurts. Now, last year, Darnold played well. I don't think it's quite clear. And Darnold's played well for two years. I don't think it's quite clear that he's that much better than Hurts.
No.
To me, they're on the same plane.
I'm talking about, but I look at it in the sampling size of a year.
Last year. Yeah.
For all three guys.
Well, and if you go, I mean, Darnold did play really well the year before in Minnesota, too. Darnold's had two good years in a row. Now, Hugh, last year was the first time he performed in the postseason, right? Because in Minnesota, he did not.
Yeah.
I don't think the Eagles are on. I have to see the Eagles be on their level. Because last year, they weren't on their level last season. The Rams and Seahawks were just on a different level.
They were riddled with injuries. There's a lot that was going on. And that's what you think about when you make that assessment. That's what I'm thinking Richard is talking about when he makes that assessment. There's a lot of injuries on this team. There was a lot of questions about the offensive coordinator, the quarterback. I'm not just laying this at Jalen's feet, but when you talk about that, that's the biggest question mark. Will Jalen take that next step in this offense?
Where do you guys think the Eagles are in the odds to win the NFC? Because he's talking about the NFC specifically. So how many teams do you think are above the Eagles in the odds to win the NFC and get to the Super Bowl?
I would probably say right now, just off the top of my head, one. And that one team would probably be the Dallas Cowboys.
No, I'm talking about the NFC.
Oh, you're talking about, you know when you said
not
it, Joe,
the
I'm
East,
thinking
yeah.
about the East.
No, the NFC to get to the Super Bowl.
That's a different conversation. Definitely the Rams.
The Rams are above them. Rams are the favorite in the NFC right now.
I think Seattle going to take a step back.
But that far back or just a little step back?
I think they're going to take a step back. But for the sake of this conversation, given what we know about these situations, the Seattle Seahawks are probably going to be two.
They are two. So the Rams are the favorite to win the NFC. The Seahawks are favorite.
Chicago probably three or four.
Chicago is actually behind the Eagles. Chicago is seventh in the NFC in odds.
Okay, so the Eagles are sixth.
Eagles are fifth.
Fifth?
Rams are the favorite by a lot. Seahawks are second. And it's a pretty big gap then to next. The Niners are third.
Oh, I forgot about the Niners. They're kind of banged up, though.
Detroit is fourth. The Eagles are fifth. The Eagles have the fifth best odds to win the
conference. So
Detroit
is higher than the Eagles?
Yes.
And the Rams and the Bears are behind the Eagles.
The Bears,
they're behind. No, the Bears are behind who?
Here's where it goes. It goes Rams are the favorite. Seahawks are next. Then the Niners. Lions. Eagles. The next couple teams are the Packers and the Cowboys.
Okay, the Packers,
and
Cowboys.
Then the Bears.
It looks like they're sort of, I mean, they, if you want to look at this, it has the Rams in their own tier in terms of odds, plus 550. Then it's a significant drop off to the next team.
You're talking about Super Bowl
odds. Which is Seattle.
Super Bowl odds. Yep.
Super Bowl odds. So even if you want to put the Rams in their own category, or if you want to group them in Seattle territory, the Eagles, there's like a pretty significant drop off when you get to the Lions, Niners, and Eagles.
Yes.
Like they have the Eagles almost in that second or third tier.
Yep.
And that makes sense to me.
Like, I agree.
I feel like I have more of an idea of who the Rams and Seahawks are than I do the Eagles this year.
That's fair. I think that's fair when you talk about it like that, because there's a lot of question marks about a lot of different positions. Now, I'm saying all this because I'm banking on the offensive line being healthy, and I'm banking on the combination of Tank Bigsby and Saquon Barkley that the running game is going to be sound. He's not lying. Malachi Lemon?
No,
we don't know.
Malachi?
No.
We don't know what he's going
to
be.
What does he have to do to get you to get his name right? Touchdown week one?
No. Hugh stuck to Coach Goober and Coach Bubblehead.
And they won the Super Bowl.
He's always going to be
Malachi. And this is the guy you defended stealing Nick Foles' number 9.
Malachi.
Which was a joke.
I know it's an old movie, but Children of the Corn, Malachi.
That's what's in your head?
Yeah, every time I think about his name, I think of Children of the Corn, Malachi. So there's a lot of question marks about what he's going to be. And it does not help the fact that He wasn't in training camp. And I know people, oh, that's not a big deal. Get ready for the season. Yes, it is. He's a rookie. Well, it's not like he's a vested player.
No. But as long as he's in training camp, he missed minicamp, right? As long as he's in training camp there in the month, he's fine.
But you got those mental reps hit different for youngins. It's a different time. Yeah. It's a different time, a different era. But, man, you missed those mental reps out there. You're missing timing and everything. Sure. And this offense is going to be predicated on timing.
I do think it comes – I mean, look, Hugh said it. Richard Sherman alluded to it. It is the quarterback thing, right? I mean, we know what Stafford is. I think Darnold, Hurts, you could say they've been comparable, at least in terms of what their numbers were. Mm. But I almost think, like, Darnold's not going to be MVP caliber. He's not going to be bad. I think I have an idea of what Darnold's going to be.
Yeah, 2 years in a row, pretty good.
I don't think I have any idea what Hurts is going to be this year.
Well, and he also spoke about AJ. This is the first time there's not... That's why I agree with what he said. I don't think the Eagles are on the same level as the Rams Seahawks. And also, for the first time in a while, their talent is a little bit diminished, right? They traded away A.J. Brown. As much as I was happy with it, them doing that, I was on board with it. Hugh, this is the first time in a while the Eagles have subtracted a talent like that. Usually they're just adding.
Reluctantly.
Well, whatever. I mean, he's not here, right? They subtracted a talent. Meanwhile, the Rams added Myles Garrett. The Rams added Trent McDuffie.
Yeah, and that's why you look at it the way that you look at it. Because you don't know what the Eagles are going to be. But, you know, if that offensive line is playing well and Jalen Hurts grasps this offense pretty quickly, I think they'll be fine. The defense, we all feel the defense is going to be probably the tip of the spear when it comes to, you know, getting this offense acclimated to whatever it's going to be. So there's that. So it's going to take a little time for this offense to get going.
Yeah, and I think for me at least, I need to see it to believe it. Because all of last year, they were not on the same level as the Rams and the Seahawks. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop in. Are the Eagles on the same level as the Rams and Seahawks? The odds are saying no. Richard Sherman saying no. You seem to still think the talent is close to theirs, right? It's about the quarterback. Like, when you look at the teams, you think the Eagles are close to the Rams and Seahawks talent-wise?
I think so. You know, and I know Myles Garrett's the outlier. No question about that.
That's a big upgrade.
He's an outlier. But when you talk about the defenses, because I think that's what we all both look at. I think this Eagles defense, even though we don't have the big name edge rusher, we got some comparable players. We got and we have Vic Fangio.
Yep.
And we have a stalwart secondary. You know, there's some question marks on the back end about the safety position, and it's kind of thin back there. But I feel like it's not light years away from the Rams. Now, I hear what Richard, like, thinking about it now, just on the surface, I hear what he's saying and I understand it. But I don't think the Eagles are light years away from them.
No, I don't think light years, but on the same level means the, I mean, so
In the cul-de-sac.
Offensively, are we in the same cul-de-sac as the Rams?
No, I'm okay.
Offensive talent. So that they have Stafford, Devontae Adams, Puka Nacua.
Well, Puka biting people, so we don't know how that's going to work out.
You know what?
That whole biting, I'm not going to let that bite.
I don't think it's a big thing on the field. I mean, as long as he's eligible to play. But, like, he's going to play worse because he bit someone last year? I mean, do you think he's going to play worse because he bit someone in December?
You know what,
I just don't think
he's going to. Might
play better. Maybe he does.
Maybe he absorbed their powers.
You know what's funny about this? It's how y'all diminishing him biting folks in the club.
No, hold on. Nobody's diminishing him biting people in the club.
But how does
you
it
are
affect
acting
his
like
game?
It matters for on the field.
He might try to bite.
What are you talking about?
He might try to pull his helmet off and bite somebody.
Okay.
All right.
No, but like, what do you have, 1,800 yards last year, 1,700? Hey, I don't think he's going to have 700 less because he bit someone in a club last year.
They'd be like, hey, Mr. Bitey Pants, Mr. Biter.
Yeah.
He's the biter.
I don't.
Mr. Bitey Pants?
What did you just say?
It was the first thought that popped in my head.
How am I supposed to continue 2 hours of a show with Mr. Bitey Pants?
Hey, man, I'm just saying. He biting people. I ain't giving him no
Whose offense is more talented right now, them or us? Come on.
You.
I'm going to be a homer on this.
No.
Oh, all right.
Are you going to do the Elliott the last 5 years?
First of all,
we are way too close to football season for this nonsense talking about we're not going to be in contention for the Super Bowl. I will have none of that.
Well,
it's the 4th of July weekend.
Well, hold on. That's not what we're talking about.
I'm not saying that a biter, somebody who bit somebody unsolicited somewhere is going to be better. Well, he is a hell of a receiver.
So we've devolved into this. Hugh thinks the Eagles' offense is better than the Rams.
In my mind.
Oh, stop.
Yeah, okay.
Don't do it. No.
That might be a little bit too much. No, the Rams are going to be formidable. No question about that. They're going to be formidable. All jokes aside, they're adding pieces.
Yeah.
and we've subtracted, and on top of that, we have a new offensive coordinator. So it's we're going to be on the struggle bus for a little.
Well, that's, I mean, just they have Matt Stafford, the MVP. Mm-hmm. They have a player who was he runner up OPOY?
Yes, I think it was he was second behind. Yes. It was either him or McCaffrey.
And they have a head coach who the coordinator we just hired. Like we want to be him.
Yes,
or him light. Like I don't think it's really doesn't really compare.
Well, no, that's why the Eagles' defense needs to be great, which that's the expectation, and they need the offense to pick it up as the season goes along to be in the same category as the Rams.
Their path to competing with the Rams is our defense holding them down to a level that our offense can be within striking distance.
Now, look, what Richard Sherman is saying there, what we're talking through, what the odds say, is that the Eagles are not in that top echelon. And that is a departure from the last couple of years.
Yeah, and that's because of the uncertainty of the offensive coordinator and how soon the quarterback picks up this offense and how soon this offense gets going. You know, all of that kind of plays into the ranking of where the Eagles are ranked right now.
You know, it's going to be an interesting feeling, and I'm not quite sure where this is going to go. So when we had it was an infamous day on the show. I think it was the moment where Hugh said, huh? When we had the day that we discussed, is this a transition year for the Eagles, right? We had that discussion during the offseason in the midst of free agency and all that. Like, you know, to me, they're in the middle of what is going to be a transition year. Remember, try to recalibrate what their offense is, what their quarterback is, and who are the young players that are going to pay for the future. Hugh, it doesn't feel like an all-in season to me that the Eagles are setting up, and it feels to me like we're in a transition. Where do you come down on what they've done and kind of what they're telling us?
Huh? You didn't have to do that.
Sure we did.
It was uncalled for.
No, it set the scene.
It was actually quite literally called for.
Yeah.
Yeah, Joe mentioned it.
I did. I asked for it.
It was uncalled.
So when we had discussion that day, there were quite a few people that thought they are in a transition year. I can't wait to see what the feeling is around this team, Hugh, over the next month or two leading to the season, because by definition, a transition year probably doesn't mean Super Bowl expectations. I wonder if that's going to change as we get close to the season. People are going to start believing and convincing themselves this is a Super Bowl team, or are we going to think what we thought in the offseason, which is good but not great?
No, we're going to believe that this is a Super Bowl team. Just like the Jets are believing that they're going to be in contention
for
the playoffs. No, yes, they do. Yes, they do.
You just ruined your entire point with that. What are you talking
Jets
about?
Fans or the Jets?
The Jets fans and the Jets.
No, neither.
No, let me
neither.
Tell you.
Jets fans can't believe they're going to be competing.
They cannot be serious.
I am dead ass
got
here.
Got Geno Smith, the quarterback.
Please don't.
I promise you that their hope, the beautiful thing about the beginning of football season, is everybody believes they have a shot.
No. I don't even believe that.
Even the New York Jets believe they have a shot.
If we went up to wherever there is the biggest concentration of Jets fans,
Long Island.
We asked them, what's your confidence level in contending for a Super Bowl, they would laugh in your face.
No, I didn't say contend for the Super Bowl. Now you're putting words in my
mouth. You said playoffs.
I said playoffs.
Where they haven't been in 15 years, which is impossible in the NFL.
I said playoffs.
They'd probably still laugh at you. Did you watch them last year?
Excuse me?
Did you... Huh?
No.
Did you watch the Jets last year?
Oh, I know that they didn't get an interception all season long.
Yeah, they were brutal.
They stink. They were really bad. Yeah.
But they got a new quarterback who's had some, they got a new old quarterback.
This is because your friend Aaron Glenn said he's going to take them to the promised land.
You know what's funny? This is, I was talking to some people up there yesterday. Might be it.
Well, Aaron's got to get to 6 or 7 wins to keep that shot. Yeah. Tough spot for AG up there. Yeah.
He in a tough spot, man. But hope springs eternal. You know, whether you believe it or not, there are some out there that believe, like, hey, man, maybe we can make it to the playoffs this year. Everybody believes that. And I would think that the standard being the standard what it is for the Eagles, they're not thinking nothing less. So, especially when you talk about, you still got the Hall of Fame. You still have the MVP quarterback on the team.
Who?
Jalen Hurts.
Oh, the Super Bowl MVP?
Yes.
But that's different than having an MVP.
No, but he's the MVP. MVP is MVP.
No.
Super Bowl MVP.
Super Bowl MVP is different than regular season MVP.
No, but what I'm saying, Joe, you're right, but what I'm saying is, and I know it sounds hyperbolic, but it's the truth. They have Jalen Hurts, and they feel like, and I feel that Jalen's going to adapt to this offense, and they're going to be fine.
So I actually agree with you that as we get closer to the season, I do think people's expectations are going to rise from because most of this offseason.
I know it sounds crazy, but that's what we do as fans.
Well, I think we do it every summer, right? Like,
yes.
So whatever you're at, you naturally start getting more excited for the season. You start seeing it through a different lens. I agree with that. I wonder, though, deep down, do people feel... Because we've seen different Eagles teams, right? The 24 team, the talent level they had, the age of those players, the addition of Saquon, there was a ceiling to that team if they could reach it that was special, and they did.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if people feel that about this team, especially with the subtraction of A.J. Brown. I agree with Richard Sherman. I don't have them right now on the same level as the Rams and Seahawks. I think those two teams entered the summer... clearly the best in the NFC. We'll see where the Eagles are at. I'm curious, but I think you are right on this, Hugh. I think people are going to talk themselves into
we always do,
best
Joe.
Case scenario.
We always do, because we've been here before. And when you look at the season that we did win the Super Bowl, nobody saw that coming. I mean, we got off rocky. We got off to a rocky start.
But I bet their odds in July were better then than now.
Yeah.
More talent.
Yeah, yeah.
And yet they were younger. Start. Younger team.
We had... You know, Coach Bubblehead's moment where he cut all his hair off and everybody looking like, what the hell? What the hell he? And they start rolling. And then the rest is history. So it's one of those things where the closer we get to this thing, the more and more we're going to start to believe that everything's going to be okay until we see them actually play.
Well, then you have to see it to believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can convince yourself anything in the summer.
Because we're going to go. Let me tell you what's going to happen. We're going to go to camp. You know, Coach Mann's going to be there with his new fresh bald haircut because he came on home.
Well, that's why he's the official coordinator of the Midday Show.
Yeah, he came on
home. He's one of us.
And Jalen's going to be throwing the ball in practice all over the schoolyard.
Yeah.
Elliot's going to chart those plays and talk about how good Jalen looks in practice.
He needs that stopwatch. How long is he holding the ball?
Everybody's going to be excited.
Yep.
And then we're going to go to New England and we're going to see how we look with that measuring stick there in the practices.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's going to be the first tale of how we feel about this season.
Well, that's why that's a must-win practice.
Yeah, must-win practice.
Yeah, we cannot go to New England and lose that practice.
I totally agree.
Let's go to the phone lines here. 215-592-9494.
It's hot, Joe. It's hot today, too.
Well, we're in the air conditioning.
No, I'm just saying. I'm just looking outside. It looks hot.
It looks hot?
Yeah.
Well, sometimes you have this haziness.
You look outside, yeah. It's a little hazy, dog. It's hazy.
I don't know if I really see that right
Well,
now.
I don't see it either. I'm just saying sometimes you can see hazy.
I see haze. Okay.
You see haze?
So he's just deflecting.
Okay.
What did you call it? Puka Nacua? Bitey guy? Bitey man?
Mr. Bitey Pants.
Mr. Bitey Pants. Puka Nacua.
Watch out. Puka's here. He likes to bite.
So we've talked about a lot of Eagles stuff over the last few months since the season ended. And it's amazing.
I hadn't noticed.
Yeah. But what I've realized is, of all this stuff, there's only one thing that, matters. That is Mannion and Hurts and the offense working. That's it. I would take that. I think that is a bigger question than winning football games. I would take knowing the answer about Jalen Hurts and knowing the answer about Sean Mannion over winning football games this year. I'm thinking about all these other things we've talked about. Jalen Carter's contract. It matters. But it doesn't,
of course it does.
Doesn't really matter. Is Brandon Graham coming back? Doesn't really matter. Cooper DeJean, is he going to play safety? Is he going to play nickel corner? Doesn't matter. Are we going to trade for Max Crosby? Doesn't really matter. We all know it doesn't matter. We all know the only thing that matters is, can Jalen do it? The only thing that matters is Sean Mannion. Can Sean Mannion do it? And I would take the answer to that question as a yes over a win. I would take, in any one Eagles game this year, if you said you can have a win in this game, or Jalen can look like he really does it and Sean Mannion can look like he really can call plays, I would take yes every time. It's it's more important
over a win.
Over wins. It's more important than wins. It's more important than the division. It's more important than the Super Bowl. It's more important than playoff wins, is the answer to those two questions. Can Jalen do it? Can Sean Mannion do it? If the answer is yes on both, we're set for years. Right? A win is fleeting,
but
Sean Mannion and a franchise quarterback is forever. I would take yeses to those answers over wins.
There's a lot to unpack.
There's not really that much.
No, it really is. I mean, you threw out there, you'd take it over playoff win, a Super Bowl, this and that, and the other, just to know that Sean Mannion and Jalen Hurts, what?
Super Bowl, okay. Maybe.
Okay, I'll take that off the table.
Yeah.
But I get the point you're making here. And I'm not saying that shouldn't be high up on your priority list when it comes to things you want to see from the football team this year. Of course we want to see the offense click and be clicking on all cylinders and get back to scoring points in bunches and be explosive. Of course you want to see that. But how likely is that to happen from week one? I hope it does, but it's not likely that happens. So it's going to take a little bit of time for them to get to the level where it looks like they are on the same page. In the meantime, we got a good enough football team that you can win football games with your defense. You can win football games by running the football effectively and taking the shots when they present itself. The last thing I want to see this offense try to do is come out and prove how smart they are. How many things different can they do than what was there the last 2 years? Oh, by the way, when they won double-digit games, made the postseason, won the NFC East, won a Super Bowl, let's prove that that wasn't good enough. Let's change everything, and let's start motioning everybody. Let's start throwing the ball deep on first down. Let's do all these things to make us look so advanced as an offense. That's what's not important, because that's going to lead to losing football. Turnovers. What they've done a great job of doing is keeping themselves in the game and giving themselves a chance to win. Now, it doesn't always turn out in wins, but I don't see very many blowouts against this team. They don't lose big. They are usually in every game. Every game, right? They're usually in every game.
Yes, because of the defense. Let me ask you this, though. Let me ask you this. First four games of the year, what would you rather have? 4-0. But the offense is like, I don't know, looks kind of the same. Jalen can't do this, 4-0, or 2-2, and we're second in the league in points, and eighth in the league in passing, and you know, second in the league in rushing, and the offense is flying all over the place, but we're 2-2, or 4-0, and it looks like last year.
4-0.
I'd rather have 2-2.
Nah.
I'd rather have 2-2, and the offense looks great, because I figure the defense will eventually be good, so under, right. I know we have talent, Give me the quarterback looking good, and the offensive coordinator looking like he knows what he's doing, and I think that is more important than wins. I would take 3-3 over 6-0 in that case as well.
Yeah, it's getting more and more ridiculous here. The wins are important, because this is a tough conference. This is going to be a tough division to win. And the ultimate goal is trying to get to the Super Bowl. Now, I'm not telling you that I believe today that they are a Super Bowl title team.
No, they have more to show.
Yes,
of course.
So, but my point is that if you're going to tell me I have a choice between them being undefeated after 4 weeks or 6 weeks, that gives me a leg up in the standings and an opportunity to possibly have a bye week or certainly win a division and host a game at home versus looking pretty and losing, but somehow everybody's getting their numbers, but we're losing games somehow. No, winning is always the number one objective. I don't care how it looks. I'll go to the grave saying this. The W is the thing that matters to most. Style points don't matter as much. Winners don't care about style points. They care about winning.
Well,
winning.
I've never claimed that I'm a winner. I do care about style points. I know that after 4 weeks or 6 weeks, I thought to myself, oh, I'm okay committing to this quarterback. Oh, I'm okay to committing to this offensive coordinator. I would feel a lot better than if we were 4-0 and I had those same questions about the quarterback and I had the questions about the offensive coordinator. I'd rather have those questions answered. That's more important to me than wins.
Well, and in part because that's the biggest issue for you.
Yes.
But for me, it's not.
Okay.
And I've always said this, and I understand the Eagles may be leaning more in your direction with this, because it seems like they want to figure out how to score points and easier points and more points, whereas, and that makes them have questions about what the quarterback can do versus what he can't do and all this other stuff, whereas winning should be the number one objective, and that's what the guy does. That's what they usually do as a team. They win. That should be your number one objective. If you can fine-tune some things along the way, then great. But you don't sacrifice winning for anything.
215-592-9494. What's more important to you for next season, just the wins or the offense looking great? I'll frame it this way. If it's after four games, you have two choices. 2-2, offense looks great, Jalen looks great, or 4-0, looks like last year. I would take the 2-2.
Haven't we learned that the wins a win is the wrong opinion to have?
No.
2023, 10-1, last year.
What about 2024?
Yeah, they ran the ball very well.
Forget about that year. Yeah. Forget about that year. Forget about that year.
Well, one correct wide receiver was worried about the passing game. And listen, Jalen clutched up when they needed him to clutch up, but they weren't passing the eye test, and I think everyone
knew. They still
knew
won a title.
Because they're so supremely talented. They're not that talented anymore. Like, the talent mattered in the 2014.
Right.
25 wins a win. 23 wins a win.
What about 22?
That team was nasty.
Well, they had style points in 22.
And they had they played like a C-level schedule.
All okay. Right. Okay.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Get us before we're gone week. We're not here next week, so if you want to talk to us, you got to get in. Wow. And one guy who is getting in, that is the guy who's always getting in. That is Elliot Shore Park.
Always getting it in, amen.
Tuesdays with Elliot. Yes. We're in, is that a little soccer?
It's a little soccer shirt. Big game tomorrow night. Big week, I guess, too.
I've been thinking a lot about you and soccer lately.
I'm sure it's all very positive.
No. I think about you.
Can you tweet
a lot
about the Eagles again one time?
Well, yeah.
Well, it let one thing happen with them. Yeah.
It's just, I can't quite decide if the soccer thing with you is real or if you're riding the wave like you did with Oasis or Country Beyonce or whatever. Like,
I didn't really ride the Country Beyonce. I did go see her. Yeah. I didn't tweet about it a ton.
Oh, you did?
No, I did not.
Oh, you didn't.
Yeah.
Okay. Taylor Swift.
Right. Taylor Swift agreed.
You rode that wave as well.
Queen Elizabeth,
well, you rode that wave.
I was early on her, I would actually say.
Well, yeah. On her, not on her life.
No.
So I'm really trying to determine, because there is like quite a culture around the soccer, and it's very, you know, popular. And I'm just wondering if you are riding that soccer wave as like an alternate wave to the Eagles wave, or if you really, truly in your heart are enjoying soccer.
Well, I'm watching every minute of the tournament, but no question tweeting about it. Yeah, go get those likes. I mean, people are into it right now.
So you really enjoy it?
I mean, I play soccer my
entire... Did you say go get those likes?
Yeah, why not? Well, not even a ton of likes, to be fair.
Did you notice? I've asked you twice, and you haven't said, yes, I really enjoy it. The first time,
I really enjoy it.
Okay,
yes.
You really
enjoy
it.
I played soccer growing up. I've watched it my whole life. I very much enjoy it, yes. Hmm.
Okay. I think it's actually the one sport he's most qualified to talk about.
I would almost agree with that. Although, I will say, I think I know more about football than I do soccer.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Even though I cooked you on Friday.
He really thinks he cooked me. He really did. And he's brought it up multiple times now. When he said Matthew Stafford, when he was on the Lions, was still a good quarterback, even though he was losing.
Yes.
But it's a flawed point.
Mm.
It's not like you can't do this thing with Jalen where it's all these hypotheticals. Like, you're saying, well, Matthew Stafford, blah, blah, blah. Like, let's just talk about the actual
This is how you know I cooked you.
Yeah. You didn't cook
me. Look how tight he's getting in there.
It's like the fourth time you brought it up. You really thought you made a good point.
I did.
I like your shirt, by the way.
Thank you. My Baker shirt?
Yeah.
One of several Baker shirts.
Yeah,
I'm surprised it hasn't been brought up yet.
Welcome to the Bake Show.
He hasn't signed by week one.
This is a Browns era. Yeah, well, not even week one.
Oh, it's training camp?
Training camp.
I don't get why athletes do that.
Baker said, well, here's what I understand. Here's what I would respect about it. So Baker said, if he is not signed by training camp, he's not negotiating anymore.
Yeah.
He just wants to concentrate on the game. I think that way for him, he is putting a deadline on it, mm-hmm. which puts some pressure on them, because I think there's more pressure on the Bucks than there is under Baker. Could have a bad year, and Baker
deadline still spur action.
Yes, they do. And I think if Baker Mayfield had a so-so year, somebody's still giving him a big contract. I think there's more pressure on the Bucks than there is on Mayfield. So
I would agree. I think it'd be hard for the Bucks to find a quarterback better than Baker in a year, because they're probably not going to be good enough to draft one.
Yep.
It's hard to acquire one. Baker is probably a top 10 guy. You know, 7, 8, 9, 10, somewhere around there. Like, I think it'd be hard to acquire him.
Well,
I don't think so.
You think it'd be easy to get another Baker?
Well, I wouldn't say easy, but I mean, to get another quarterback to go there and play, I mean, they got Baker to come there after Tom Brady.
But they got Baker to go there when Baker was at a low. Like, Baker reinvented his career in Tampa Bay.
Sure. But my only point is that I think there's enough mediocre quarterbacks out there that teams are so unsure of. It could be Kyler Murray. It could be J.J. McCarthy. It could be Jalen Hurts. Like, you know, there's other quarterbacks that are out there that if it doesn't work, it could be Tua. You know, he's not going to stay in Atlanta. So there are other quarterbacks. Now, I don't know if they'll be better than Baker or whatever.
Some of those other than Jalen.
But the only thing is, I don't know. Baker didn't look as good before he got to Tampa.
Agreed.
So I'm just saying, if you're Tampa, if it's a decision between, are you trying to hold me up for $65, $70 million, or are you willing to take $45 to $50 million?
Yeah, I think with Tampa too, not to get into like a Buccaneers show,
I'm just saying.
But it would be about, do you actually think you can win with Baker where you're paying as much money? Like with Jalen, the Eagles know they can win with Jalen.
Yes.
So in terms of paying him, yes, maybe he's not going to have the passing yards you want, but you at least know you can get to the Super Bowl with him, so you're, it's worth investing that money. Mm-hmm. With Baker, I don't think there would be that guarantee.
Do you think that
I agree. That's why Tampa isn't rushing to pay him.
Yeah. Well, do you think the Bucs would think that they could win the Super Bowl with Baker if they had the best defense in the NFL and the best running game in the NFL? I think they would be pretty confident about it.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, so it's not a one-for-one on the Jalen thing.
No, but there is something to be said for having a quarterback that's won playoff games, played in the Super Bowl, has that experience. You know how he'll react in certain situations.
Yeah,
like Jalen has that for him.
Yeah, I just understand. To me, if you're Baker, and the last thing on Baker, I promise, because everybody listening doesn't.
Yeah. Don't turn him down.
He doesn't want to talk about Baker.
No. Look,
got the shirt on.
It's just personal. Look, I wear a lot of shirts. I don't talk about what's on my shirt.
I'm wearing a Jalen shirt, though. Yeah,
I do have a Jalen sweatshirt. Nobody talked about when I wear it. Nobody talks about it when I wear it.
You've always been a Jalen guy.
I do have a Jalen sweatshirt.
Your showman.
I do have a Jalen sweatshirt.
Whatever is good too.
But to me, if you're Baker and the season starts, all you can do is, like, from a Buck standpoint, is they just have reasons not to pay you. Like, if he wants top quarterback money and he goes into the season, he's just like, even if he plays great, he's still going to get the money he was just asking for in the first place. Mm-hmm. So I think from a deadline standpoint, that's why I would understand.
I've just never understood, and I mean, you could talk about this as a former player, why they actually don't like to negotiate in season. Like, is it that big of a distraction? Like, the Eagles don't do
this. I don't think so.
I would think
and I was never that good for it to be a distraction for me anyway.
You wanted to negotiate.
Yeah, exactly. I would have taken one.
You would have taken that call? Yeah.
Yes, exactly. I think Baker doesn't want to be asked about it.
Every
throughout
week.
The year. That's what it is. Because he's not doing the negotiating. That's what you got an agent for.
Right.
Yeah. He's the call. Yes, the agent. All you do is tell your agent, call me when they come up with the offer that I want. Mm. Other than that, I don't need to hear updates. I don't need to hear any of that stuff. I'll let you handle it. When there's a deal put in front of you that's real, that you want me to consider, then let me know. Other than that, I'm playing football.
Yeah.
I mean, Dak did it.
Yeah.
Dak did it on the last year of his deal, and he did it on a franchise tag.
Yeah. Yep.
And still got paid.
So the thing we started off with today, we're talking about the birds. I'll present the exact scenario I presented to Ike for you. After four games, your choice. Eagles are 2-2, but Jalen's like the second-ranked quarterback in the league. They're scoring a bunch of points. Sean Mannion looks like the real deal, but they're 2-2. Or they're 4-0, and it looks kind of like last year. What would you pick?
So the interesting part of this question, because I do think it's a close one, is the four games, right? If you told me for a full season, I am taking the wins. And I do think having four wins in the first month of the season would set you up really well to be the one seed. But if it's just the first four games, I think coming out and having Jalen play well and having him respond well to the things they're doing on offense and having confidence on the offensive side of the ball, I think would lead you to being better than 2-2 over the remainder of the season. So I definitely think wins matter more than the offense. I'm not going into this year saying, like, you know, they can go 10-7, but if they average 31 points, that'll be a win. Like, this team should play exactly how they have the past few years. They have a great defense. They should have a good running game. Take care of the ball, get wins, and don't change who you are. So I think holistically, that's where I would land on it. But for the first 4 weeks of the season, I think there would be benefit for everybody on the offense in believing in what they're doing is working. So I would say for 4 weeks, I would pick the offense.
I'll tell you what, I would take the 10-7 over 10-7.
I definitely would not.
10-7 wild card and whatever. No. I would
over
take that
12-5.
Yeah,
nah.
I would. If I have
10-7, no division win. You're on the road.
Right, yes, because here's why. Because then going into the offseason, I know I have the two biggest questions I have in my entire franchise, quarterback, offensive coordinator, I know the answer is yes on both those guys, and it makes it easier for me to make other decisions about other players and all those other things on my team if that's it. If that means sacrificing, like, a home playoff game or whatever it is, I would take that.
I know we're getting in a little bit of, like, hypothetical semantics
sure,
here,
yes,
but
yeah.
but if... if you win 13 games, let's say, as opposed to 10, I think you have a better answer about your quarterback and your offensive coordinator. If you're winning 10 games or 9 games, but you're averaging a lot of points, well, you're also probably turning it over a ton, right? You're probably not making big plays at the end of the game to win games. If you're winning 13 games, your offense is operating at a high level. I just would be very surprised if they won 13 games and their offense was terrible. Even last year, their offense was awesome for the most part in the first half. They just collapsed in the second half. So I think this idea they need to completely rebuild the offense.
You mean the first half of games?
First half of games. They did well in the first half of games. Well, this we're talking about like the adjustments, I think.
Well, it's funny because the year before,
it was the opposite.
They
right?
got a slow start every game.
And I think that could be a problem this year. Like, I think Sean Mannion, he is such a young coordinator with so little experience. This idea that he's going to come in and like be able to make in-game adjustments every week, adjust to play calling, there's going to be growing pains. So I think last year, the offense, again, second half of games not good, but they didn't need a complete rebuild, in my opinion. So going into this year, if they can get 13 wins with that style of offense from last year, but like more under center, some more motion, I would sign up for that as opposed to 31 points, like 280 passing yards a game, like that type of thing.
I wouldn't.
I just think you're, but like, what are you looking for in your end game here? Because ultimately the point is to win games, right? So if you're saying you think the offense being better on a 10-win season is good, well, you still have a lot of questions going into the offseason, right? Like, can you win double-digit games with Mannion or whatever, 11, 12 games as your offensive coordinator? Can Mannion lead an offense that wins 13 games? Like, there's those questions that come with it, too. I'd be surprised if them winning 10 games, we leave the season feeling good.
Well, we probably won't feel good. However, I do, like, I think sometimes you put, we just said that the team, let's say 30 points a game, mm-hmm. and your question would be, can Sean Mannion lead an offense that can win games?
Well, if they only win 10 games, then there will be lots of times where the offense is failing, right?
Well, not necessarily. I mean,
if you're only winning 10 games, like then you're what, 3 games over 500? So you're not like considerably over 500.
Well, maybe the defense isn't playing well. Maybe special teams isn't good. Maybe Jake Elliott costs you a game. Maybe Jake Elliott costs you 2 games. Maybe like I guess what I'm saying is if they're scoring 30 or 31 points a game, I find it hard to believe I would be able to look at that resume and say, you know what? I don't know about this offensive coordinator. He didn't win games. He is tasked with scoring points.
But to be fair, in 2023, they scored a lot of points. We're, I think, 7th or 8th in the league. They moved the ball quite a bit, and the offensive coordinator got fired. So, like, why is that? Because they didn't win a playoff game, and they didn't win a lot of games. Now, I know there's some uniqueness there in the way it happened. The defense was bad. But the point I'm making is the ultimate way to go into an offseason feeling good is to win more games. I think we're over-exaggerating the way it'll make us feel if the offense looks great, but if they're losing, 7 games, I don't think people are going to feel as good about it as you think.
215-59. Well, I don't care. I'm not talking about how everyone feels.
No, I know. I'm saying.
How do you think Howie would look at it? Like Howie having to make the decision about paying Jalen after this year?
I think if they win 13 games and are like a top 2 seed and win the division, I think they will pay Jalen almost regardless of how it looks. Like now, yes. If they're winning every game, 13 to 10, and he's turning the ball over all the time, yes. Then I think there'll be a serious discussion. But if he's playing like he did last year, but they win 13 games instead of 10, I think they'll, or 11, I think they'll pay him.
By the way, I just looked at this. The Eagles averaged 22.5 points last year.
Yeah, I think they were 23rd in the league.
The Packers averaged 23.
Yeah.
Oh, where's the explosive offense at?
Yeah.
Well, remember, he was an offensive coordinator We pick and choose.
Oh, yeah.
That's the tough thing about looking at the Packers with Sean Mannion. Like, we do this
right.
Sean Mannion offense. There's nowhere to see a Sean Mannion offense. I think you
haven't seen it.
You get a better look at like how much he was under center, what the Rams do. I think that's a better idea of what they're going to do.
You've been listening to the best of the Eagles on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.